You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Over 1 year ago, a BC tree planting contractor was ordered to shut down its operation after many of its workers were found to have been working and living for months in substandard conditions. The company, Keira Enterprises Limited, had been given several contracts across the province from the BC Ministry of Forests. Many of the workers had been denied up to two-thirds of their earned pay. Today, the workers have yet to see their earnings returned to them. Roz Salvador is a staff lawyer with the BC Public Interest Advocacy Center and is working on this case. Roz sat down with Red Eye Collective member Peter Driftmeyer yesterday to speak about it.
So describe the conditions that these workers were subjected to.
Okay, well, they were living, many of the workers were staying in storage containers that weren't meant for human beings to sleep in. They were crammed in there, overcrowded, completely inadequate ventilation. And when they first began working in March at Texada Island, it was extremely cold. So oftentimes they would be unable to sleep and wake up sick due to the cold. And then there were other times later on in July when it was too hot. So that was the sleeping quarters. By the time they were in Golden, they didn't have access to drinking water, and they were forced to drink untreated water directly from the river. Their food was often rotten. They were given chicken and rice, I think, almost every night. There was no real lunch provided. And so the food was completely inadequate, in addition to being spoiled in many cases, or improperly cooked. There was a fridge, but I understand that it wasn't kept running most of the time. So you can imagine what kind of a situation that could lead to. When I first met some of the workers, some people had stomach issues coming out of this. There were no hygiene facilities in Golden, no toilets. In fact, the camp was established there illegally, which I understand is the exact same location they'd been in the previous year, the car had been in the previous year. So that's a bit of an overview of the living conditions. And as well, there was extreme racism against the African workers, including racial violence. Knives and stones were thrown at workers, and just horrible, degrading comments continually. And many workers have said that they felt that they were treated like slaves, because in fact they, in many cases, were unable to leave, both because they hadn't been paid their wages, and many had traveled from places like as far as Quebec to get here, so couldn't leave without payment. And also, some of the camps were remote, and so there was actually an impossibility to leave without assistance from the employer. When workers were injured, they were forced to continue working. They were discouraged, or it was made completely impossible for them to make WCB claims or get medical treatment. It just goes on and on. It was absolutely horrific. In the end, the workers staged a strike due to the non-payment of wages. I understand that food was withheld from them in punishment for that. And I believe that that's the situation as it was when the camp was found in July in Golden.
Wow. And then almost a quarter of $1 million in unpaid wages.
That's right.
According to ESB.
That's right. So in February, the Employment Standards Branch completed an investigation and found that Keira owed 58 workers who'd worked for Keira in 2010 about $250,000.
And so since then, so they had the investigation, and the investigation was completed. They found that the workers owed this amount of money.
Yeah.
But today they still haven't seen that money.
Not a penny of it.
Why haven't they been paid?
The Ministry of Forests actually has withheld about $105,000, is our understanding, from Keira, and has transferred that money to the Employment Standards Branch to partially pay the workers' wages. So that will be less than half of the wages owing. So we understand that money is sitting there. I believe it's been sitting there since February or March. The Employment Standards Branch has refused to release any of those funds, saying that they wanted to wait until the appeal process had finished. The appeal process has finished, So I've raised the issue again with Employment Standards Branch as to, you know, what their intentions are with regard to paying out that money. Because what's happening right now is workers are living in, many of them still in abject poverty. Some are owed $12,000 in wages. Some are owed around that amount in unpaid wages and also unpaid EI. The EI situation hasn't been resolved yet due to Service Canada's lack of action on the file. That is a huge amount of money that's owed to someone who's living in poverty. So there's crisis around housing, there's crisis around ability to buy groceries, all the while that $105,000 is sitting there.
To this day, that money has a big impact on their living conditions today, year after they've finished work.
Absolutely. And as far as the balance of the wages, CAIRA and CAIRA's directors are responsible for paying that. Employment Standards Branch is responsible for pursuing collection action against them, and in fact has filed a fraudulent conveyance claim against Hartalpreet Sidhu, who was one of the directors. He allegedly transferred his house to his wife, or the house that was in his name, to his wife in order to avoid paying the workers' wages. So that action is currently continuing. Our view around the unpaid wages is that the Ministry of Forests should actually pay the difference. I think that trying to recover the money from CAIRA or its directors is a process that could take years and may never come to full fruition. And the money, the $250,000 that was that should be in the workers' pockets, in our view, is actually in the Ministry of Forests' pockets. They chose CAIRA's. They accepted CAIRA's bids because they were the lowest bidder. And they did so without taking any consideration as to whether or not it was possible to actually complete those contracts for the low amount that CAIRA had bid. The Western Silvicultural Contractors Association was extremely alarmed when they saw how low the bid was, and contacted the Ministry of Forests before the work season started and said they were very worried about CAIRA's ability to actually complete these contracts, worried about the health and safety of the workers. And so that just goes to show that it was actually extremely evident that you could not actually complete the contract for that amount of money. And so the money that then Ministry of Forests has saved by sort of feigned obliviousness to the violations against the workers is money that the government has saved.
And then CAIRA itself, other than the order to pay what they should have paid in the first place, did they face any kind of reprisal or
there was from the government? Yes, the Employment Standards Branch did issue penalties against them. I think the penalties amounted to only I believe it was $3,500, and it doesn't look like the money is sitting there.
Do you think $3,500 is adequate?
No, absolutely not.
How do you think these different government institutions that have failed these workers until now could bring about justice?
Okay, well, for starters, in this case, one of the things that was very unusual in this particular case is, I suspect, at least in part because the Western Silvicultural Contractors Association had raised grave concerns, we did a Freedom of Information request. So we now have a number of internal government documents. And looking through that, you can see that the ministry's response to Western Silvicultural Contractors Association's concerns was to say, okay, well, we're going to keep a very close eye on CAIRA. So, and they did. So in March and April, when CAIRA was working at Texada Island and Powell River, the government had documented all of the health and safety violations. They were completely, fully aware of exactly what was going on around health and safety. And they also knew that there were employment standards violations. And that's in clear print on their own documents.
Long before they were shut down.
Months. So this is March, and they were shut down in July.
Wow.
So the Ministry of Forests didn't cancel the contracts that it had with CAIRA, and it simply allowed the situation to continue. So what is unusual about this case is that they actually, I think, that they were actually being monitored, that the government was aware. Obviously, that's not enough because no adequate action was taken. Ministry of Forests just was passing the buck to the Health Authority, to WorkSafe BC, other institutions which are equally take equally ineffective action. So that's a huge problem. The other problem was the monitoring of Kyra that was unusual took place in March and April. Then Kyra went and did a private contract. Like they were subcontracted. And then after that, they were back on government contract, but there was no follow-up. So even though these egregious violations had been found in March and April, there was no follow-up when they went back onto government contract in June and July. There is a problem around WorkSafe BC being notified as to the locations of the camps and the ability to actually investigate. Now, these are systemic problems. The forestry ombudsperson, the forestry safety ombudsperson, recently issued a report with a number of recommendations. And he talks about the need for a notification system so that it is possible to actually figure out where these companies are, when they're going to be there, so that the appropriate agencies, so being the health authorities, Ministry of Forests, WorkSafe BC, for instance, can actually show up and do inspections. And so we agree with that, those recommendations. We think they're really good, and we're very happy that that report has been released. What's missing from that is that... Two major things. One is employment standards violations also need to be actively investigated. It's not sufficient to make a claim, you know, to be forced to make a claim after the fact. And in this case, many of the workers had severe language barriers, and it was fortuitous in the sense of how things unfolded, in the sense of being able to come forward. The BC Federation of Labor was there, facilitated the ability to make complaints, and then we became involved. That's not like a usual course of action. So there needs to be active enforcement and investigation of employment standards issues on the spot, on the ground, during the work season, because here we are a year later and the workers still haven't been paid their wages. So there needs to be coordinated investigation of all of these issues. That's the first piece. And another piece that's significant that we feel was left out of the ombudsperson's report was around enforcement. So there's a heading in the report entitled enforcement, but under it, it's actually monitoring. But in this case, there was monitoring. Monitoring doesn't solve the problem if the Ministry of Forests is completely unwilling to take any action in response to the problems. So there need to be policies around how is the Ministry of Forests to respond in the case of these kinds of violations, to terminate the contracts. And not only that, and this was addressed in the report, to look into past history. Kyra had not paid workers from the years previously. They were seeing in the same location in Golden as they had previously. Yet they got the contract again. Why is that? Why was that not looked into? Why weren't those questions raised? Why would the Ministry of Forests simply give a contract to a company? And I believe it's due to complete lack of any kind of care and because of the dehumanization of the workers by the Ministry of Forests. So it's very, very disturbing.
For listeners who would like to support these workers in some form or another, what actions would you recommend they take?
One of the most critical things right now is just being able to buy groceries. And we have received some food card donations in the past, which we're very grateful for, from some of the unions, BC Federation of Labor, and just some concerned individuals and organizations. And we've run out of Safeway food cards right now, and that would be really useful.
That was public interest lawyer Roz Salvador. Roz spoke with Red Eye Collective member Peter Driftmeyer yesterday.